What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful.com. Here with a name you know. Take two, we've had some tech issues, but I've watched this guy across Ring of Honor, Impact, TNA, New Japan, so many places. Now I got a fly buzzing around my head, because why not? We got Alex Shelley here, who's now going to be in MLW, doing the Opera Cup, a stacked roster for this tournament. Starts off the first weekend in Philly, or first weekend of October in Philly, culminates the first weekend of November in Philly. Alex, how you doing?
Doing well, man. Better than you, maybe.
A comedy of errors. I spent 13 hours at an airport yesterday, so I'm just good to go. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Got this fly buzzing around my head. What the heck? What are we doing here? But as I mentioned, MLW, is this your first time ever working MLW?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I've been a fan of MLW since, 2002, 2003. Yeah. Like, when I was starting out, MLW in its first incarnation was just so cool because it was so different at the time.
And how does that deal come together? Like, does somebody who specifically reaches out to you and says, hey, let's make this work?
MLW front office reached out probably a while ago, maybe almost 2 years ago.
Nice.
And it just never really matched up time-wise, but now it seems like a pretty good fit.
And the people that are set for this show, like, there's a lot of people that, quite frankly, like, get there's comparisons drawn to you. Lee Moriarty, when I first saw him work, I was like, there's a lot of Alex Shelley in him. And probably no shocker, when I talked to Lee Moriarty, he's like, oh, Alex Shelley is responsible for me getting a lot of looks by a lot of people. When you see this type of roster, you're facing TJP, for example, and you see what they can do, does that get you excited at this point? You've worked with a who's who, and you are a who's who at this point.
Yeah, and I think what really kind of gets me most interested in the tournament itself is the fact that really, truly, you know, there's a couple of aberrants, but most of these guys are excellent technical wrestlers.
Yes.
And I feel that's something that's kind of coming full circle right now. We're kind of seeing a revitalization of it amongst all the companies. So for me to be able to test myself against a lot of these guys in singles competition, a lot of them, even though I've crossed paths with them, I've never wrestled them one-on-one, is very exciting.
And I mean, like I mentioned, TJP, he's like the level of work that we see him doing now compared to when he started in TNA years ago. Like, it's just, it's through the roof. And I remember the first time that I saw your work in TNA, I was expecting it to be the standard X Division, high-flying, fast-paced, and you added this grounded effect to it that I came to adore. It was a contrast that fit, because you could still do all that other stuff, and now it's commonplace. It wasn't as much then, but now this is a tournament that's full of talent like that. Like, Lee Moriarty is capable of doing almost anything physically. When you see the, for example, the leaps he's made, what does that mean to you personally as someone who has championed him for a lot longer than other people have?
I think we had our first singles match about 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years in November. And I remember seeing him for the first time wrestle Trey Lamar at AIW. And I thought, man, he's really good. Both of them are very good.
Yeah.
And that was a guy that I told AIW management that I wanted to wrestle as. So that happened shortly thereafter. And he was somebody who, when we wrestled the first time, I was very impressed with him. And afterwards, you leave it in the ring, of course, you're competing against each other, and I won. But he had so many questions. And we probably spent maybe about 2 hours talking and started to form a bond. And from there on out, we had two more matches, and each match was very different than the last one. And it was always an honor for me to have somebody who is already so good ask my opinion on things, right? Like, when I coach guys, I don't tell them what to do. I tell them that I'll give them perspective, and we're working together. And I think teamwork makes a dream work, right? But that stated, we still have to push each other in the ring. So eventually, after our third match, I knew that he was starting to get some acclaim from our peers when I went to Ring of Honor the next day. So I had AIW in Cleveland, drove home that night, then flew out to Ring of Honor to wrestle Mark Haskins in Baltimore. And when I got there to catering, I had probably four, five, maybe six guys. And Silas Young was one. Tracy Williams was one. these guys coming up and saying, hey, who's Lee Moriarty? Hey, who's Lee Moriarty? And I said, how do you know who Lee Moriarty is in the first place? Right. Like, of course, we're all fans, but, you know, these are guys who they're very, very good themselves, and they're in the Ring of Honor double. And they said, oh, I had heard about your matches with him. And that's when I realized, wow, so going toe-to-toe with somebody like that helps both of us immensely, right? Because that helps keep me sharp. And that's why I like the indies. I love independent wrestling in the U.S. because I feel like it truly is the most challenging environment you can possibly be in. And I don't think it's easy to explain to people who haven't done it. But imagine just getting to a venue. You've sat in the car for 4 hours, and you get there an hour and a half before your match. And you have to warm up and change and then like mentally prepare for all these things and then still wrestle and win and then drive another 3 hours and maybe sleep or maybe not and do it again, like for a weekend. Right. And I think that's just so cool. And Lee's done that for years. Like he had the most matches at the Collective in Indiana last year. I remember thinking like, dude, you're a machine. So kudos to him. Right.
Yeah. I love seeing him make those leaps. And when he was like, Alex Shelley puts in good words for me at Ring of Honor, at Impact, all over the place. I mean, that says a lot. I mean, obviously your word carries weight to it. But as I mentioned, like he's far from the only person in that tournament worth looking out for. There's a guy that you had the privilege of working many times in Bobby Fish, but in the last several years, he's been elsewhere. Like you all haven't been able to necessarily do that. He's back in the tournament. There's Calvin Tankman, who is completely unlike everybody, but is also capable of so many great physical things. And then there's Tom Lawler. Are you much of an MMA fan? Do you follow MMA or anything like that? This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Not at all. I mean, not one iota. I don't care about MMA at all. However, of course, I have respect for what those guys do.
Yeah.
And the work they put in is unrivaled, in my opinion. My closest interaction to MMA is treating people who do mixed martial arts and physical therapy. And I can honestly say that it's probably the closest thing in terms of comparisons to pro wrestling, in the sense that it's so wildly unpredictable and you can't train for it, right? Like, this is a sport where it's not a matter of if you get hurt, it's when you get hurt. And wrestling's much the same that way. But I did know about Tom well before I met him, and Tom's a beast, man. He's awesome.
And he had a lot of those pro wrestling inspired, like, weigh-in entrances and stuff. Were you a video game fan as a teenager?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I was part of the first generation to really have access to multiple at-home consoles growing up. So I don't think you're going to find anybody in their 30s who wasn't a fan of video games or had them in the house.
So while we're on the subject of the Opera Cup, the first time I ever heard of Matt Cross was on the Backyard Wrestling video game. Yeah. He was M-Dog 20. Him and Josh Prohibition were just beating the crap out of each other. I actually interviewed Josh Prohibition about like doing the cover and all that stuff. Like, did you ever play that game? Was that your like eye opening to him, or did you come to know him later on?
Well, I'll tell you how I first heard about him though. When I was a teenager in high school, I had a couple different jobs, and one of them was working at a record store. So we would get copies of Rolling Stone, and I remember we knew what Backyard Wrestling was, and I dare say that you'd be hard pressed to find guys who I was close with coming into the business who didn't backyard wrestle in some way, shape, or form, right? Like, kids are going to imitate what they see on TV. Like that. And I remember I would flip through it on my lunch breaks or whatever the case was. And I remember seeing Josh and Matt. And that was the first time I ever saw them. They had an interview in there. And I thought, whoa, like, these guys are insane. You know, like, we were doing in the backyard. I wrestled in, like, I don't know, tierras and like submission holds. And these guys are just jumping off of really, really tall structures and putting each other through flaming tails. I thought, count me out. And still to this day, count me out.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh man. When Josh told me the story about how they had to film that or make that cover, like he said that they wanted him to go through the table like 6 or 7 times. And he was like, guys, it doesn't feel good. It hurts. It hurts.
Yeah, man, you do it. Do it once.
Another name in this tournament, Davey Richards. Have you all ever had a singles match? Because I couldn't find one when I looked it up. And I know you all, of course, the Wolves and Motor City Machine Guns ran into each other. I feel like it was maybe a decade ago. And he's back in action. So this is like a loaded roster full of these just fantastic workers. As good as you are as a worker, perhaps the most entertaining thing I've ever experienced in pro wrestling is Paparazzi Productions. I've wanted to ask you about Paparazzi Productions for like over 12 or 13 years. Like, I thought that was the funniest stuff I've ever seen in pro wrestling. Like, you guys catching Eric Young at like a store, like, in spying on Sting and just all the integration there. Can you please tell me how that came about, how the creative process for Paparazzi Productions and the Paparazzi Championship Series happened? Because that was magical stuff.
So there were basically like two elements to it, right? Yeah. So there was me doing stuff on my own, then there was me with Kevin. The stuff with me on my own was them saying, here, you're going to do this. And then me doing whatever I wanted.
Yes.
So I could say anything I wanted. And for the most part, I would just try and entertain myself or entertain other people who were around.
Yeah.
Apparently mission accomplished, right? Because like people still talk about that. Now the stuff with Kevin, originally when they paired us up together, they wanted like a very distinct differential between here's a veteran, here's a young guy.
Yes.
And I don't think they counted on both of us having the same sense of humor. And I don't know why they didn't approach it this way, but we're both from Detroit, right? Like, we had very similar stories growing up. And, you know, we grew up in a very similar socioeconomic environment. So, yeah, we were raised kind of in the same area. And of course, you know, in the U.S., you have your different regions. We're one country, but of course we have our different regions and there's cultural differences amongst them. So we would, the first time we worked together, just make jokes to make each other laugh. And I don't know that anybody else really found them all that funny half the time, but we did. And more so guys laughing at their own shit. Apparently, eventually enough people found it entertaining to where they started filming more and more of it. But the PCS specifically was Kevin's idea. So he wanted to do a takeoff of the BCS. I was like, oh, that's great. Everything that you saw there outside of Kevin and I coming up with the events themselves, everything was ad-libbed. Nothing was scripted. Like, nothing was, here's the script, read this, do that. Everything was on the spot. That's it. That's all there is to it. And typically, if you can entertain yourself, you can entertain other people too. And I think that is the perfect example of that in pro wrestling, because so much of pro wrestling is designed to be funny.
Yes.
And there's nothing worse than like jokes that aren't funny, right? Like nobody likes that shit or has time for it really. But true comedy is the stuff that I think people have fun doing, right? You look at these guys who they're actors or they're entertainers and they enjoy what they're doing. And that translates really well. And that this, pro wrestling's no different.
Well, that translated really, really well. There were so many like little, like him always accusing Sanjay of being on steroids. Oh, that was so good.
Sanjay looked great.
And Jay Lethal, like him being like, "Why are you doing this to me?" And Kevin goes, "Well, it's because you're black." And I'm like, "Oh my God!" Like there are these like little things that just land so like so well from him, especially because I think part of the humor was a lot of people had this perception because of like the vanilla midgets comment that he's like he wouldn't want to work with X division guys.
I can't say that anything was further from the truth. I mean, when you consider the term vanilla midget, it doesn't matter if you're a vanilla midget or a vanilla giant. You're vanilla, right? Like midget isn't necessarily the knock. Vanilla is. So, you know, I'm 5'9". 5'10 on a good day, like before I'm hunched over at a computer all day. But I would consider myself anything but vanilla. And I think that was something that had been spread around. Perhaps for those guys or whoever coined the term, that was true. But everybody's experience is their own. And I can tell you that for a fact, for years, he went out of his way to help everybody that he worked with. And he did things that you would never even hear about. You know, guys weren't making a ton of money, right? He was paying for hotel rooms or buying them food, buying them beer. I mean, just cool shit.
Were you in the ring with him, or I think you were around the ring when he did the arm drag? Were you there for that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. Oh,
my gosh. I feel like, yeah, it was. It was you and Kevin Nash against, I think it was Jay Lethal and Sabin. And the first, he locked up and he immediately did an arm drag and strutted around the ring. That was like, it's for anybody else, it's like, who cares? But it's Kevin Nash doing it. And I think one of my favorite segments there was the training segment where you're teaching him to be an X division wrestler.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And he's like, well, I've been working on something that like into my pool with like two or three flips. I think the most underrated line is you calling somebody Simoleon Joe.
Oh, yeah, it was Simoleon Joe and Super Blue Cross number 7 or some bullshit like that.
Did Samoa Joe ever say anything to you about it?
No, that wasn't Samoa Joe. That was Simoleon Joe. You're confusing them. They're different people.
Oh, obviously. I wonder if they're related. They got the same last name.
Yeah. I wonder if WWE... to sign Simoleon Joe on accident.
Oh my gosh. That's who they brought back. And they're like, well, we've already re-signed him.
Yeah.
Oh man. I hope that I get to ask you more about that in the future, but I don't want to make this all about Paparazzi Productions, though I could all day, because I think that's the most entertaining stuff in TNA history. You got to start selling those I Spy shirts.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Like I saw Kevin, not that long ago. It was at an AIW show. They brought him in for an autograph session. I wrestled Eric Stevens. And I didn't get to talk to him much before my match, but afterwards he goes, "Do you wrestle like that all the time still?" I was like, "Yeah, man." Which was a huge compliment, right? But we talked for a while. Dude, we got to do a video together or something. Like, we got to meet up on a weekend that you're free and just do a special where we talk about all this. Like, pull back the curtain. I was like, oh, yeah, that would be good. It's like, we should do another PCS, too.
Yes.
I think it'd be cool.
What is it now?
Maybe I'll get you. We'll have everybody in the Opera Cup.
That would be awesome. I mean, I think there's a whole group of people, like, today that have these vivid personalities. Like, Danhausen's running around out there. Him, like, in a Paparazzi Championship Series skit would be hilarious. Like, there's so many entertaining guys out there.
I want people who are more socially awkward. I mean, I guess he's socially awkward.
He is very social.
I want the weirdo.
He is. We've mentioned MLW. You haven't been in Impact lately. How's your relationship like with them?
It's fine. I just don't work for them. I mean, that's you know, I wasn't able to main event one of their pay-per-views, of course, and that was when COVID numbers spiked.
Yes.
And due to my occupation outside wrestling, my company had restricted travel with new mandates and vaccines and so on and so forth. And to be honest with you, I wasn't going to be wrestling for Impact much longer. We had not agreed to that. Let's put it that way. Not that I have anything against them.
Yeah.
At all. I was so happy to come back, and I was so thrilled with my time there and to wrestle the North. I think the North are just incredible. So Josh Alexander, and Paige Bolton to help Saban kind of come back and ease in after an ACL repair. But at the same time, they've just got so many guys on their roster. And for me, scheduling wise, actually, it works out quite a bit better to wrestle on the weekends currently, because I do have a career outside wrestling. But I can definitely say I have nothing but praise for Impact and in its current incarnation. They do everything well. Scott D'Amore handles things amazingly. I really, really love being there. And I would love to go back at some point. I really would. But, you know, I've only got so much time, sure. Right? Like, that's it. There's so many hours in a day.
And you did a couple of NXT spots a couple of years ago. How was that? And were there any talks to do anything further there?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I loved it. You know, I'd rather not discuss whether or not we're going to go forward with this, because it just doesn't really matter, I suppose, like in the long run, right? Like, I really liked it. I mean, I loved it. They treated their athletes so well, right? Like, they treat their wrestlers like pro athletes. And I've never seen anything like it. And I've been in wrestling almost 20 years, which is crazy to say, but the amount of care they put into this is just paramount. Like, they really, really try to take care of these people's health. And that's something that I had never been witness to. And I hope that's a change going forward. And I love teaming with Kushida. I love the time splitters with all my heart. I think things might have been different, though, had the pandemic not happened. For me personally, I really had to take a good hard look at whether or not I wanted to go full bore into wrestling or keep my medical career, and I couldn't do both. I just couldn't. At the same time, anything that was entertainment related, economically speaking, took a huge hit. Sure. And is still recovering. And financially and just mentally, I thought, you know what, if you're not sure of something, one of the best things you can do is do nothing at all. Just kind of sit on it for a little while. So I just kind of waited, and in doing so, of course, the opportunity for Impact came back, right, to work with Saban. So I got to reform the Machine Guns, and I was so happy I did that. But, yeah, everything's up in the air now. I mean, I had nothing but good things to say about NXT or Impact. Both amazing.
Well, now we're going to see you at MLW, and it's not just these great talent that are in the Opera Cup. Like, you've got Myron Reed, who has emerged so much. They got Tajiri popping up at a show. I think he's actually working Myron Reed. And then they got Fatu and Hammerstone, which I think they've built amazingly. Two champions who win all the time facing each other, and you find out which one's better. I think that's the most basic, elementary, let me watch that type of thing out there. Who are you looking at in this company? And you're like, well, they might not be in this tournament, but I want to get in the ring with them that you haven't.
You know, Hammerstone's a guy I'm a huge fan of. I think he works really, really. Myron's actually somebody I really would like to see. And part of that is because I've trained so much with Trey Miguel, and Trey, you're in our two peas in a pod, right? But there's a handful of guys. A lot of them are in the AfroCop. Jerry would be dope. I mean, Jerry's cool as shit, right? Yeah. Like, everybody was a Jerry fan at some point or another. And I've actually met him multiple times, too, but never been in the ring with him. But yeah, they've got a lot of really, really cool talent. And I think the cool thing that they have, too, is an open door policy. So they have people coming in and out for special appearances as well. And that's appealing, too. For me, I get most excited about technical wrestling these days. And that's not to say they have to be a technical wizard or anything like that. Like, I don't think anybody would consider Myron Reed that, for example. He's ultra talented in other ways. But I really like wrestling, like younger guys who are going to push me to know that I can still keep up, if not eat them up. One of the greatest compliments I got was after I wrestled Trey Lamar, who's like a younger guy, right? He said it was like wrestling Wolverine. It's like, dude, he just keeps coming. I was like, oh, man, can I get that in writing? Or maybe like a sweet tattoo on my back, low back, right?
Yeah, I love.
Low back. You didn't catch that one, dude.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that'd be a poor one.
Oh, man. Well, that's one of the things I love about the roster. Like, one week you might be against these Opera Cup guys, and then it's like, well, next week you might face Savio Vega or LA Park. And
They've just got so many guys who are just so eclectic. But that's what drew me to MLW 20 years ago, too. Mm-hmm. Watching Sabu versus La Parca, or the Far East Connection versus Chris Daniels and the Maximos. Like, those matches were like, whoa, man. Like, I never thought these guys would wrestle.
That's one of the things I like about MLW, too. Like, they've got, like, almost everybody in their video library somewhere. Like, somebody, like, so many people have come through MLW at some point, even in the old iteration, back in the early 2000s, like you had mentioned. So I'm really excited to see you joining the fold there. Of course, guys, make sure you check out those tapings, MLW Fightland, the first weekend of October. And then the Opera Cup, I think, finishes up the first weekend of November. Alex Shelley, I want to thank you so much. This is an interview I've been after for a very long time, and hopefully we get to speak again because there's so much I want to bend your ear about.
Oh, cool, man. I hope I lived up to your expectations.
Of course you did, except for the lower back joke. I mean, that's the only one.
Yeah, sorry to catch that.
That's the only one. Guys, check it out, MLW. They are on a wealth of platforms. It is very easy to watch their show, and let me tell you, beyond an easy watch, it is a must-watch every week. Check out Fusion. Until next time, guys, we're out.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.